innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true. There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter, I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Life Walk with Christ God. And you come on over to the Trim Radio Network where you can listen in, you can buy merchandise, and we'd love to see you in it. It helps us stay on the air. And we broadcast live all over the world. And if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us, and we'll show you how easy it is to do. The opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guests, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. Any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. We have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. Call in, give us your opinion. We'd love to hear from you. Long as there's no cussing, no swearing, hey, we're good to go. And this great song right here, Lauren Daigle, that is Rescue. And that is covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And I'll tell you what, folks, we're going to get right on into it because we are on the book of Job. And boy, have we seen a lot of things, and there is a lot going on with Job. And, I mean, it is absolutely incredible what he has gone through. And he wanted to hear from God. He wanted to hear from God, and God answered Job. Last time that we were reading out, you know. And Job has just been challenged by all his friends and everything else. But God, he demands an answer to his question from Job. And then he turns around and he's comparing Job, the power of Job to that of Leviathan and Leviathan and a behemoth, okay? And Job is now dumbfounded in everything that has gone on because God has answered him and said, where could you possibly understand the things, the intricate things, and that I handle and why I'm doing the reasons that I'm doing this? How could you possibly understand it? And of course, Job has felt, you know, after God has went through this with him, Job has been kind of taken back. He understands and has decided, wow, okay, I'll just, I'm a sinner and I feel bad about this, but here we go. Then Job answered the Lord. We're on chapter 42. Job confesses lack of understanding. He doesn't understand what God's trying to tell him. And it's very, very hard for Job because Job is, he's lost. He's a little bit lost here. He doesn't understand. How could anybody understand? None of us could. But how could anybody possibly understand the reasons that God does what God does, and why it should be without question? So here we go, chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can doest everything, and that no thought can be withholden from you, from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I am understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job repents of his rebellion. Hear, I beseech thee. I will speak. I will demand of thee. I will declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job gets it now. He is understanding, and he is starting to get an idea of, okay, there's things here that are going on that I don't understand. I I am hurting, and I am sitting here, and all I'm doing is complaining, and I feel that I've, you know, that this is just not good. This is just not good. So he has said, God, please let me appeal to you. Let me talk to you. And God hears everything he's saying. And finally, God answers Job. And then Job is taken back because he's starting to realize the awesome power of God. And he's already known it, but he's starting to see that, okay, there might be something deeper here. So because of this now, the deliverance of Job and his friends. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz and the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job has. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him I will accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which was right, like my servant Job. Basically, they were told Job this whole way through, you did something to God. And God knew that Job didn't do anything to him, but this is the only reason that God could be doing these things, and God is going to be, you know, come against Job and just bring all this terrifying stuff because Job sinned. And what they forgot is God is a forgiving God. God is a loving God. God is a merciful God. He certainly wasn't doing anything to Job that, you know, was because Job did something wrong to him and angered him. And Job was sitting here trying to defend himself, and they wouldn't give up. They wouldn't stop. They wouldn't stop. They just kept saying, you did something to God, and because of that, you're getting what you deserve. But that's not how God works. And they should have known this. Believing in God, that's not how God works. And Job was right when he called them miserable comforters. You are the worst comforters I have ever come to know. If it were me, I would have been here just consoling you. But for me, you've accused me. You have basically just thrown me to the wolves. And God knows this. And God doesn't like the fact that they're testifying like they know God better than God knows himself. Okay? God doesn't like that. Oh, so you know what I'm thinking now. And Job must have done something wrong, so I'm angered and I'm punishing Job. But that wasn't the case. And that's one of the reasons why God is so upset. And Job is the one that's going to sit here and pray for them. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shunite, and Zophar, the Nathamite, went and did accordance as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He restored him twice as much as what he had before, and he had lost a lot. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Kernapachach, and all the land where no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of ways. You know, the thing is that when we look at this, and it's such a wonderful book. Just absolutely a wonderful book. And I'm going to go back here to where we're going to read this. And let's see. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And it says right here, and they bemoaned him, and the Lord had brought upon him every man also to give him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. It is so incredible. And when you think of everything that has happened to Job, everything that he went through, he's just unbelievable. But what do you get from this whole thing? First of all, one of the things that really stuck out to me was Satan couldn't even just approach God. He wasn't just walking on up, how's it going, or doing this. No, he's so weak that people don't realize how weak Satan is compared to God. Presented his sons, the angels were there. And then also along with them came Satan. If you've taken an interest in Job, my servant, upright, faithful, escheweth evil. And out of all the things that happen, we kind of get this thought in our minds at first, when I first read this, is, did Satan just tempt God? Did he force God into doing these things? No. God already knew what this outcome was going to be. He knew it before Satan knew it. I I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. Again, in defeat, Satan goes down. In defeat, every single time he tangles with the Lord, he goes down. It just happened to be at Job's expense this time. And I know it says, and comforted him all over the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Satan really brought the evil, but God allowed the evil. So let's not misconstrue that. God didn't bring evil on Job. Satan came and presented the evil and did the evil. God just allowed it to happen. But he had conditions. You will not lay a finger on Job. And then when that didn't work, he came back. Oh, but let me touch him. Fine, you could touch him, but you can't kill him. There's boundaries here. And every time he has to present himself too. So when this is done, it is absolutely wonderful. And Job is feeling a little bit, well, he is. He is just overcome with grief and pain and hurt and everything that has gone on. He's been through a lot. Lose your family. Lose everything that you have. People act like they don't know you. They scoff at you then. Then they, you know, give you no respect at all. I mean, everything was taken. But Job still didn't curse God. No, he didn't. He might not have understood the reasoning behind it, but he didn't curse him. And of course, God said, stand up, act like a prince, be a man. God saw what he went through. He didn't want that to happen to Job. And then his friends come along, the miserable comforters. You did this, you did this. There's not a doubt in our minds. You did this, and this is how God works. Never mind that God is merciful. Never mind that God is loving. Never mind that God is forgiving. God is so far past any thought processes that we could all have combined in this world together. Over 8 billion people. There's no way any of us could still comprehend the level of his power, the level of his might, the level of his understanding, his patience. Throughout the whole New Testament, Old Testament, we have seen nothing but patience from God. And I've heard friends say, you know how he is, look at the Old Testament. God could be ruthless. Really? No, mankind is ruthless. God is just. And his three friends learned that at the very end. And God said to him, how could you possibly think that I'm going to sit here and do this to Job? Because he did something wrong to me. Because he erred. You were supposed to be there and comfort him and love him and help him get through this. And you didn't. Instead, you were accusatory. You thought to think of how I think, like we're on the same plane. And now you have to make amends. And what did Job do still? Even at the end, even after his friends basically threw him under the bus, Job prays for them. Again, he does the right thing that none of us ever do on this world. He does the right thing. And Job, when he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Yeah, Job knows he was done wrong. They abandoned me. And he still prayed for him. If this world just had people that could do the same things that Job was capable of doing, which is impossible. None of us can do that. None of us. None of us have done that. And yet here we go. Job is absolutely incredible. And, you know, a lot of people have heroes, and it's easy for everyone to say, who's your hero? It's Christ God. If it were Christ God, wouldn't we do things, or at least try to do things, in the way that he would like? But we don't. We're all selfish. And let's face it, we are all selfish. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Oh, great book, and I'm glad I got to share it with you. And I think the next one that we're going to jump into is another great book of mine. And I mean, absolutely love it. Let's go on in here to, we're going to hit Genesis. Let's go to the beginning of the book. Da-da-da-da-da. And we're going to cover a few things here. Genesis is one of these great things. God makes a covenant with Noah. God's made a covenant with man. And every time we've broken it. I mean, we have just done such bad things, you know? I mean, we just make mistake after mistake after mistake. But I like Abraham also. Abraham is another person that absolutely is just incredible. But I want to head in and let's take a look. And we're going to jump around, like I said. And let's go to At one point, we know and we're going to look right here. And let's go back and let's look, not the sin of Lot, but we're going to go ahead and I guess is what we'll do is we're going to start the test of Abimelech. And we'll start in chapter 20. Genesis is just a wonderful book. Chapter 20, and we are going to be on verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, set and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. See, the reason that Abraham did that was because he was afraid that they would kill him and then take her. But if he said, hey, she's my sister, they won't kill me. But God stepped in. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself said, he is my brother? In an integrity of my heart, in innocency of my hands, have I done this. Abimelech is, he's scared now. Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, hang on. Wait a minute here. I had no idea. That is not how he presented her. And God said to him in a dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. God stepped in, made sure he didn't touch her. Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in the ears, and all the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me. At every place, whether we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of thy eyes unto all that are with thee, and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. I mean, it would scare you to death to know that, whoa, wait a minute here. God came to me in a dream and told me that you lied to me, and I'm here with your wife? Why would you do such a thing? What are you doing to me? And why? That's the even worse part. Why? So let's go on, chapter 21, birth of Isaac. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, and at the time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, and God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that I will so that all will hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew, and as he weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw her son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and in the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she did cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went, and she sat down over against him, a good way off, as it were it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of the heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God had heard the voice of the lad. Where is he? Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw the well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And she went in the wilderness of Paran, and the mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicar, the chief captain of the host, spoke unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by my God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor right, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, and thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, and Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I won't not who hath done this thing, neither did I tell tell me, neither yet I heard of it, but today. And Abraham took the sheep of oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs thou shalt take out of my hand, and that I may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because they both swear of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. And then Abimelech rose up, and Phicar, the chief captain of his host, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the same name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned there in the Philippines land many days. I mean, it's absolutely incredible how God works here. First of all, Sarah, way old, in her dotage and everything. And God tells her she's going to have a daughter or a son, and she laughs, thinking, no way, you know? And she was mocking, and yet it happened. And then, of course, everything that Abraham was, he was deceptive, but he wasn't deceptive. My sister, my brother, he was deceptive. Because we already know in the New Testament, Christ calls us brothers and sisters. He calls us friends. He calls us everything. But Abimelech was taken back. And rightfully so, and scared. And he should have been. I think we all would have been scared at that point. That's one of the things that we definitely would have been scared. Hard not to be. But God always has a plan. He always has the perfect timing. He always knows everything that goes on. It's taken care of. And I also want to go on over, and we're going to take a look. I want to go over to Joseph, and we're gonna read that and get in there. And I know everyone wants to get into, Jacob and Esau and everything, which. But I really like Joseph. So we're gonna fly on over there, and we're gonna take a look at all the different things that are going on. And we, like I said, we are going to kind of adventure through the Old Testament and the New Testament, just kind of everything. And you know, I love that to where we get to do this. And that's going to start, and here's where we're going to be. Joseph's going to have his test with the Egyptian society, and we're going to go before that one. Joseph's family sins against him. We're going to even go before then. Let's start at chapter 32, and we're going to kind of move back. We're going to go forward from here, and we're going to go, Jacob fights with the angel. You ready for this one? And Jacob went on his way, chapter 32, verse 1, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Menanim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir and the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau." The servant with Jacob said thus, "I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord, which saith unto me, return to thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all these mercies and of the truth which thou hast showed upon thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, surely I will do good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there the same night, and he took of that which came into his hand, a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats, and 20 he-goats, and 200 ewes, and 20 rams, and 30 milch camels with their coats, 49 kine, and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. And he delivered them unto the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves. And he said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space between drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, whose art those, and whether goest thou, and whose are these that are before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be the servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, he is behind us. And so he commanded, and he and the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying in this manner, you shall speak unto Esau when you find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me. And afterward I will see his face. Preadventure he will accept of me. So went with the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and he sent over all that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with the man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou do ask that thou do ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. As he had passed over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. And therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. I mean, imagine that all of a sudden you wrestled with the man all night long, right? And touches your leg, and all of a sudden you're out of joint. And you're just lucky now once you find out, oh, okay, whoa, wait a minute here. Who am I wrestling with? And I'll tell you what. You're lucky just to be alive. And my life is preserved. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And Jacob is sitting here worried about Esau. It's pretty incredible how hard he is making things for himself. But it's incredible that he is trying to do what's right. He is trying to send Esau over so that he's not going to be slain by him. And all these different things are going on. And now he's going to have a limp. So we're going to get to that spot here next time. This is chapter 33 is what we're going to come up on. Jacob makes peace with Esau. And that's where we're going to stop tonight. It's chapter 33. I had a wonderful time reading with you all Job and then going through and just keep reading on through. And, you know, you have to just absolutely love the books. And I, of course, I'm not the best. I don't read the best. But I will tell you this. I enjoy it. And I thank you for the company in doing it. So this is where we're going to pick up next week. Jacob makes peace with Esau, and that's chapter 33. And that's where we're going to go. And with that, folks, I'll tell you what. I hope that you have a very blessed night. And have a good week. Love each other. Be kind to one another. And we'll pick this up next week. And, you know, how wonderful is that? And I love it. We're going to go through Genesis. We're going to go get into some other books, like I said. And, you know, and then after we're done with this one, we're going to go over and jump into the New Testament. We just have a lot to learn. And it's a never-ending learning experience. And I'm telling you, if you make it a daily event, and you take the time to do that, your life will change, and it will change for the better. It brings a peace to you. So we're going to go from there, and God bless. We'll see you next week. And stand by, folks, because Stu Scheer is up. He's up right now next here on Money and Change. So we will catch him in just a few minutes. But thank you for joining us again in Life Walk with Christ God.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true. I will rescue you. There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter. I'll be your armor. I hear.